From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown reporting the United States appears to be raising the stakes in Syria, suggesting Russia may have helped the Assad regime carry out a deadly chemical weapons attack that killed more than 80 people in Idlib province, a day after firing dozens of missiles at Syria's Sharat airfield, the launching point for the chemical weapons strike. Senior American military officials said they were looking at evidence that the Syrian regime did not act alone. The Pentagon's comments Friday followed criticisms from Washington about Russia's role in Syria, some accusing Moscow of trying to sow confusion over Syria's use of chemical weapons by promoting what they called false facts. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, told the U.N. Security Council Friday that the alleged use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime near Idlib early this week necessitated the U.S. missile attack on the Syrian airbase.
The United States took a very measured step last night. We are prepared to do more, but we hope that will not be necessary. It is time for all civilized nations to stop the horrors that are taking place in Syria and demand a political solution.
The U.S. attack came in retaliation for Tuesday's deadly chemical attack that officials said used chlorine mixed with a nerve agent, possibly sarin. The attack drew wide international condemnation. For details on much more news, we invite you to join us at our website, that's voanews.com. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. U.S. President Donald Trump has accepted an invitation from Chinese President Xi Jinping to make a state visit to Beijing later this year, although no date has been set. The news came at the conclusion of their two-day summit at Trump's Florida retreat. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross told reporters Friday that the United States has a 100-day action plan on trade with China, but offered few additional details. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the two leaders discussed North Korea and said the U.S. and China share a commitment to a denuclearized Korean peninsula and agreed to increase cooperation to achieve that goal. Sweden is observing a national day of mourning Saturday, following what the prime minister described as a terrorist attack in Stockholm. A truck plowed into pedestrians outside a busy department store in Stockholm Friday, killing four people and injuring 15 others. Police arrested a man described as a person of interest. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. Sweden's government offices will fly flags at half-staff Saturday in memory of the victims. The U.S. Senate has confirmed Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, bringing a contentious 14-month partisan battle to a close after the death of Justice Antonin Scalia. The final confirmation vote came after Senate Republicans rewrote the rules, voting to eliminate the 60-vote filibuster threshold on Supreme Court nominees. The victory gave President Trump's 49-year-old nominee a lifetime spot on the court and his party a much-needed political win after failing to pass legislation on health care and other issues. The International Criminal Court held a hearing on Friday on South Africa's refusal to arrest Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir when he visited the country 2 years ago. The ICC wanted South African authorities to detain and hand over the Sudanese leader, who is wanted on charges of genocide. Martha van der Wolf reports for VOA from Brussels.
South Africa told the International Criminal Court it was under no duty to arrest Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir when he came to Johannesburg in 2015. The ICC filed a complaint against South Africa for non-compliance after authorities there refused to detain al-Bashir. The legal representative for South Africa, Dire Tladi, told the court that South Africa has immunity clauses in every intergovernmental agreement for conferences.
There is no duty under international law, in general and in particular under the Rome Statute, on South Africa to arrest a serving head of a non-state party such as Mr. al-Bashir.
That was Martha van der Wolf reporting. I'm Michael Brown reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA1. This is Russ Davis, your host. It's April, and April is Jazz Appreciation Month around the world. We'll celebrate some major birthdays in the month of April as we salute Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and Herbie Hancock. In the year 2002, the National Museum of American History of our Smithsonian Institution deemed that each April would be celebrated as Jazz Appreciation Month in the United States and around the world. And the world has certainly embraced the celebration, and we, of course, here at Jazz America have gladly celebrated Jazz Appreciation Month. And in this year, 2017, there is a very specific focus, and that is in celebration of the 100th birthday of one of the greatest singers in any style of music for all time, Ella Fitzgerald, on the 25th of April. We're celebrating women in jazz as well. With that impetus, we'll celebrate now two of the great vocalists on this edition of Jazz America, not only the aforementioned Ella Fitzgerald turning 100 years old on the 25th of April, but Billie Holiday, who turns 102 on the 7th of April. And to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America, let's go back to 1936. As she sings for us one of her classics, What a Little Moonlight Can Do, with the help of Teddy Wilson and his orchestra, with Teddy Wilson on the piano, Benny Goodman on clarinet, and Roy Eldridge on trumpet. It's Billie Holiday to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America. Jazz, down through the years, has always been a big part of motion picture soundtracks. And one of the newest to come out is The Comedian, the recent film starring Robert De Niro. Terrence Blanchard made the music for that, and he was joined on the song you just heard from the soundtrack of The Comedian by the likes of Kenny Barron on piano, Carl Allen, and Ravi Coltrane, the son of John Coltrane, on the saxophone, with Terrence Blanchard on the trumpet. Florida Salsa from The Comedian. This is Russ Davis, and on this edition of Jazz America, we're celebrating a major birthday for one of the living legends of jazz. Herbie Hancock turns 77 years old on the 12th of April, and he is a big part of jazz today and our celebration of Jazz Appreciation Month in the month of April. I want to share with you during this edition of the show conversations I've enjoyed with Herbie Hancock over the years. And of course, it's almost impossible to give you all the wonderful highlights of his decades of glorious work in jazz. But we'll do the best we can here on VOA's Jazz America.
Let me talk just a little bit about how I got started in music. First of all, when I was 6 years old, my mother noticed that every time I would go over to my best friend's apartment, you know, we lived in an apartment building in Chicago on the South Side, you know, a poor neighborhood. Actually, the poorest people lived in the basement because, you know, there'd be 10 people in one room, you know. But at least we had four or five rooms. And we lived on the first floor, so we weren't quite as poor as the people in the basement. Yeah. But we weren't that much above that, you know. We were pretty poor. My mother noticed that I would go to my friend Levester's house, and every time I would go there, I would always ask, "Can I play your piano?" Well, of course I couldn't play the piano. I didn't know anything about playing the piano, and I, to this day, I have no idea what I did. You know, maybe I did the diddle it, diddle it, you know, that you do with your knuckles, you know. Or maybe somebody taught me chopsticks or something. I don't remember. That was a long time ago. Yeah. So, on my 7th birthday, my parents bought me a piano because they liked the fact that I was interested in something that was cultural. I mean, they probably had no idea that eventually I would wind up being a musician. And they probably, at that time, if they had known that I would pursue music, they probably would have got me something else besides a piano. Yeah, maybe a calculator or something, I don't know.
When Herbie Hancock presented some of his famous keyboards to the Smithsonian Institution, he made a grand presentation and the speech that you just heard a portion of, and thank goodness his parents didn't give him that calculator. Instead, let him remain at the piano, because he has gone on to create some of the most famous songs in all of music history and jazz history, of course. Here's Herbie Hancock from 1962 with one of his earliest works, featuring Dexter Gordon on tenor sax, Freddie Hubbard on the trumpet, and Billy Higgins on the drums, with Watermelon Man. Herbie Hancock on Jazz America from VOA 1.
is Al Di Meola. Did you know that April is Jazz Appreciation Month? Did you know that jazz represents the cultural heritage of the United States? It has its roots in blues and ragtime and then swing, bebop, fusion. So celebrate the glorious music called jazz. Go to a jazz concert. Explore a new era or musician. Just jam with your friends. Jazz made in America, enjoyed worldwide.
In the modern era of jazz guitar, there's no one more prolific, more unique, and more versatile than the great Al DiMeola, who's always had a love of blending American jazz sensibilities with international musical art forms. Case in point, his album Casino and the song Dark Eye Tango that we just enjoyed here on VOA's Jazz America. More coming up as we celebrate Jazz Appreciation Month in the month of April, with conversation with Herbie Hancock, a listening session to more of his wonderful music, and a celebration of a certain lady who would have been 100 years old this month. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address: jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America at voanews.com. And from time to time, I receive communication from American listeners, and this listener is a very esteemed one. His name is Ray Reach, and he is not only a fan of jazz, but also a musician, and he works at the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame and jazz education at the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame in Birmingham, Alabama, which, by the way, is my original hometown. And Ray Reach wrote to me to say he was enjoying the program. Hope to meet you someday. Straight ahead and strive for tone. Ray Reach. Well, the Alabama history of jazz is not as deep as some of the other parts of the United States of America, like New Orleans or Chicago or New York City. But the state of Alabama is the home place of great singers and players like Dinah Washington, Nat King Cole, W.C. Handy. So there's a little bit of history in every state in the United States. Well, speaking of history of jazz, Ella Fitzgerald was born on the 25th of April in 1917. She would be 100 years old this year. And let's enjoy one of her classic songs. From her album from 1965, Ella at Duke's Place, here is Ella Fitzgerald with the Duke Ellington Orchestra and Cottontail.
Do
Gene Shorter's brilliant composition ESP, the title cut from one of the most famous albums in jazz history. It's Miles Davis, of course, and one of his famous quintets, which included a piano player named Herbie Hancock, who took that fancy acoustic piano lead on the song you just heard. And alongside them, Miles on trumpet, Wayne Shorter on tenor saxophone, Tony Williams on drums, and Ron Carter on bass. What a band. Recorded in 1965, ESP. Well, that was Herbie showing off on acoustic piano, but it was Miles Davis that turned Herbie on to electric keyboards. And when he did, he unleashed a monster. We're going to hear one of Herbie's early electric piano masterpieces from the Headhunters album, the famous song Chameleon. But first, let's get some thoughts on this topic from Herbie himself here on VOA's Jazz America.
What happened was I walked into the studio and I looked around for the acoustic piano and I didn't see one. So I just kind of waited around and I thought, what does Miles want me to play? And so I asked him, I says, Miles, what do you want me to play? He says, play that over there. And I looked over in the corner. That was a Fender Rhodes electric piano. And so I thought, he wants me to play that toy? Mind you, I had never played a Fender Rhodes piano. So, I turned the thing on and I played a chord on it. And to my great surprise, I thought it sounded beautiful. I loved the sound of it. It was rich, it was mellow, and it was a nice kind of blending sound.
Herbie became known as one of the great players of the electric piano in jazz, but then he also tells the story of how he met and heard Stevie Wonder playing synthesizers, and he decided he wanted to investigate other electric keyboards and did just that on songs like this one, Chameleon from Headhunters on Jazz America from VOA 1.
this is Pat Metheny. Did you know that April is Jazz Appreciation Month? Did you know that jazz represents the cultural heritage of the United States? It has its roots in the blues and ragtime, and then swing, bebop, contemporary, and beyond. So celebrate this glorious music called jazz. Go to a jazz concert, explore a new era or musician, pick up an instrument, and make your own form of jazz. But most of all, just enjoy jazz, born in America, enjoyed around the world.
undisputed masters of modern jazz guitar, Pat Metheny, and more of our celebration of the 77th birthday of Herbie Hancock, one of the great piano masters, next hour.